My name's Mike Rowe, and this is my job.
I explore the country looking for people who aren't afraid to get dirty.
It's going to get pressure on there, and it's going to want to come out.
But when do I come out?
There, good, just like that. Give me the
nice one.
Hard-working men and women who earn an honest living.
This is Ebola stuff.
Doing the kinds of jobs that make civilized life possible for the rest of us.
Just break the nut loose. Just turn the nut.
Wow, this is just impossible.
Now, get ready. Come on. Oh. To get dirty.
Coming up on Dirty Jobs, it's back to the old grind.
Hey, Mike.
You.
Corn getting low.
Oh, that's a shame. Doggone it.
At a corn mill that's been at the old grind for over 200 years.
This is an old mill.
It is.
And later.
What's over there?
At an exotic animal ranch, I help preserve a nearly extinct species of deer by shooting it.
What is the drug in the dart?
It's a drug that completely immobilizes them.
All right, guys, we have to work quick, but he's going to hit the ground in about 30 seconds at the most.
Oh, God.
Studies have shown that young men who grow up with a bridge and a babbling brook in their backyard are exponentially happier than their counterparts. I don't know if that's true, but look at me. I'm happy, and I grew up with a bridge and a babbling brook. In fact, the stream that I grew up next to was called Stemmer's Run. This is called Running Tiger. That was a lot easier to do 35 years ago. The road I grew up in was called Trump's Mill Road. I never knew Mr. Trump. He died years before I was born. And the mill that used to be there was long gone by the time I came along. But it was responsible for making all the corn and flour for the people in our community. Anyway, I always wondered what it'd be like to grow up with a bridge and a babbling brook and a working mill in my backyard. And I have to imagine it looks something like that. Ow. 1790. That's a long time. These must be disciples.
It is.
Mike?
A disciple.
Eddie? And you, sir?
Edward.
Edward?
Yeah.
Let me see. Junior? Senior?
There you go.
All right. How are things going today?
Fine.
Good.
Fine.
Has this place really been here since 1790?
It has. Been a mill here since 1790.
How's it changed over the years, Edward?
Used to be a two-story building. We ginned cotton on the second floor, and we got blown away, had a tornado. People quit raising cotton, so we just built back a one-story.
And you're selling, you're still selling your cornmeal right out of the, this is the retail arm of the operation?
Yeah.
This is it.
That's it.
How's business?
Pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I noticed this is a, this is an honor box.
Yeah, they come and pick up whatever they want and stick the money in the box.
I noticed there's a padlock on the honor box.
Well, you have to have, you know, have to have some kind of...
They're not that honorable.
Honor only goes so far. Okay, so...
I brought you a hat you might want to wear. Look a little better.
Man, now this is... Well, this is about 1800 also? This used to be yours?
There you go.
Very nice. Okay, great. Well, I'd be honored to wear it. So what else you got? You got white corn, you got flour?
Flour.
Those
grits.
Grits.
Yellow and white grits. Yeah. That yellow and white meal. Whole wheat flour.
You got fish fry. So how many does it take to work the operation?
One.
One? Well, what's he doing here?
He works, I don't.
You've assumed a supervisory position.
That's about 75 years, he can quit.
So your dad, I guess, ran this back in the day?
You just run it till you starve to death.
I notice your sign says no trespassing after dark.
Yeah.
We're welcome here during the daylight, then?
You are?
Good.
As long as you can see to walk, you're welcome to look around.
Well, I can see all right out here, but I have to admit, as I gaze inside 200-some years of millness, I'm not sure what I'm seeing in there.
That's the key. That's the only key that was with it. There's two of them. I'll give any one, I got one.
So this key was made back in 18...
Whenever they put a lock on it.
I mean, when I see stuff that's older than World War I, I think, well, that's pretty old. And then I think, before the Civil War, that's really old. Yep. Before the war, 18... This is before Louisiana Purchase.
Yeah.
Right?
1803. George Washington was president.
Yeah.
This was before Mississippi was a state.
Yeah, way before then.
The water wheel that we'll be working on was put in 1880. The rocks that'll be grinding the corn.
Yeah.
They've been running about 130 years.
What are we going to do today exactly?
We're going to make cornmeal. We're going to take corn and make cornmeal. First thing we're going to have to do is clean the water wheel out. Right. The last time I shut it down, it didn't close all the way, so I know there's some sticks, beaver sticks, or some kind of something's in there that's not letting me close
snake.
It off. Maybe a snake or so.
You coming along with us, boss? You going to supervise?
No, he's going to supervise. Y'all through with me.
We're never through with you, Edward.
Let's go this way.
All right.
There won't be room for all those down that water house because there's too many snakes in there.
So these are all the mill gates, then?
Yeah, that's the flood gates. That's what you raise to control the water level.
You're taking me to the what?
In the water house.
In the water house.
We've got to clean the water wheel out.
Right.
Straight down to the bottom. Be careful.
You got it. Safety third. Oh, there you go. Well, yeah, that's a mess.
That's the turbine, and like I said, now that was put in 1880. Of course, this was a wooden water house. The cement was poured in the early 60s, I think.
Early.
Before that, it was a...
1960s?
Yeah, before that, it was a wooden water house.
Right.
But it leaked.
When this wooden control gate is lifted, the water rushes through the concrete channel and spins the turbine. The turbine shaft turns a series of wheels and drive belts overhead, eventually turning the mill's heavy grinding stones. The end product is high-quality cornmeal. Not exactly space-age technology, but after 250 years, guess what? It still works.
So this is supposed to turn...
The inside of it turns. What's hooked to the shaft. This is hooked into the mill where you pull the lever, and when you pull it, it opens up these gates, and that lets the water... You know, this will be full of water.
So when you pull the lever up there right now, it's not working because it's blocked up by that.
So what we need to do is clean this water wheel out and just throw all these sticks, whatever's got it stopped up.
Right.
Now, it's probably not, but occasionally you'll find a snake in here. So as you're reaching up in the hole, make sure it's not a snake. If something's soft, you might want to let go of it.
I will. Yeah, this is a... Well, this is a perfect place for a snake, basically.
Snakes. Why'd it have to be snakes? While Junior thrust his arms into the potentially snake-infested waters, well, I gingerly poked and prodded like a girly man.
What you do is feel up in there, and you can feel the turbine. And if you feel something such as this one, it came out.
Right.
That's a piece of that cane out there. You can see where the beaver put it.
How often do you need to clean it?
Usually about every couple of weeks.
Right.
I think that's probably got it. So when you open the gates, the water goes through that turbine, and that's what spins it.
So for this to work, that's got to be open, and these gates have all got to be open.
You can open that.
All right, so how does this get opened?
You prize it up on top.
From up top, obviously.
As we surfaced, I spotted Edward Sr., who seemed to mysteriously appear while we were below. There he was, watching my every move.
All right, now we're ready to raise our gate.
Right.
To put water on a water wheel.
Got it. So the water's going to rush into the chamber where we just were.
Yeah.
Perfect.
This is our prize pole.
Oh, that's going to change everything.
Yeah.
Lifting the water house gate. First time.
You're going to have to put something in it now.
I am putting something in it. Hold on a sec now. No?
Not hadn't moved it yet. No water yet.
All right, second work. All right, so
for real, just put all your, just put it all down. One good put. There you go.
Oh,
I hear water.
There you go. Oh, I see the real job requirement.
You gotta have something. Gotta have some lead. What do you say? Lead in your pencil.
A little lead in the pencil. I don't know about that. That's a different kind of show.
Coming up.
Hold it.
All right. As the grinding gets underway, things at the old mill get a little weird.
This old broom has been traced all the way back to the Salem witch trials.
And later. At a wild animal preserve, I help capture a rare species of deer.
In about a minute, if the drug works, they'll start to drop, and phase two happens. I'm not sure what phase two is, to be honest. Now, all that weight sitting on top of that wheel, and the turbine's in the wheel. Gates are open.
They're closed.
The gates are closed, of course.
No water's going through.
But when we pull a lever somewhere,
Then the water goes through and spins it.
Where is the lever, just so I know?
Inside.
Everything else is inside?
Everything else is inside.
Edward, we're going inside. But you rest easy. You look comfortable. Maybe I'll get a lemonade and join you. You got the right idea.
But the mysterious Edward didn't have lemonade on his mind.
Ah, the old mill.
For waiting inside the old mill was his collection of rare historical artifacts.
Okay, this is an old mill.
It is. Old mill.
And that's an old piled up.
That's a wash pot, they call it.
What'd you do with these?
Cook stews.
This is like an antique store. Like somebody took an antique store, turned it upside down, and gave it a shake. One if they come by land, two if by sea, right?
Yep.
Paul Revere's original lanterns. Who knew? Hanging up right here in Mississippi.
As a bit of a history buff myself, I quickly identified many of these rare objects.
Everyone knows that Vincent van Gogh, in a fit of unrequited love and uncontrollable grief, lopped off part of his ear. What most people don't know is that he was wearing these very shoes when it happened. This old broom has been traced all the way back to the Salem witch trials. This is Abraham Lincoln's father's saw. This robot is from the future. An old phone? Obviously. But so much more. This old phone is the very phone.
Hello?
Used by Alexander Graham Bell. The great Chicago fire of 1800-something-and-something. Who could forget that fateful evening when Mrs. Murphy's cow purportedly kicked over a lantern, setting in to blaze a conflagration that would forever change the topography of the Second City. What's not as widely known? This iron kettle on the scene in that very barn, thought to contain the first bucket of water, attempted to extinguish the blaze. How it wound up here in an old mill in Mississippi. That's a bit of a mystery.
Speaking of mysterious.
What's up, Edward?
Once again, Edward Sr. shows up seemingly out of nowhere.
Keeping an eye on us?
Yeah.
He's a stealthy little corn miller.
And this, of course, is where the action is, right?
That's where it's at. That's your rocks. Inside of the wood, you got your two stones.
Mm-hmm.
The top one turns when we put the power to it. We pull the lever and lets the water go through and spin it. You pour your corn up here. Of course, it goes through the center, mashes it, and comes out the bottom.
So the two millstones, what are they made out of?
It's a rock. I'm not sure about the name.
Solid rock.
This is a pitch up right here on this post. That's the top one. It weighs 1,600 pounds.
That must be a job getting those set in there. Who's that up on the wall there, by the way?
That's my great-grandma and grandpa.
Really?
Uh-huh.
That's your great?
Yeah.
Your great-grandfather?
Yeah.
They were the first disciples that bought the mill.
Yeah, they were just first disciples that owned the mill.
And so with grandma and grandpa looking on, it was finally time to get to work.
We're going to take a sack of this corn.
Yep.
Pour it in the buckets. Now we'll pour that up in the hopper.
straight in.
The screen. We always pour it through a screen to catch anything bigger than corn. All right, going down now to start the meal.
Okay, so that's the lever we've been talking about?
That is. That's the lever that opens up the gates on the water wheel. First thing, we have to put our sacks on here that we're going to catch our cornmeal in.
Because really, once you pull that lever, I mean, there's no stopping.
No, it's on.
Right? It's not like it's a switch. I guess it is a switch, but it's a big switch.
Just hang it on one side or the other.
Two of those things?
Yeah. This is the wheel that raises the top rock up and down, makes it finer course.
You raise it slightly.
Yeah, you'll know when the rocks start turning.
Now, what's making that turn now? Just a little bit of water?
Now you need to go ahead and pull your lever. Pull it. That's it.
All right.
The lever releases the turbine brake, allowing this rushing water to turn it and awaken the 250-year-old beast within.
We got cornmeal coming right here.
How much corn do you need to put in to get a sack full of meal?
Sack, you don't lose any.
One to one?
Yeah. Now the next step, go ahead and flip that and we'll put it in the other. Just flip your, yeah. All right. Now, this is where you sift it before we bag it up. We sift our meal. So
right.
We'll take that sack and you'll pour it in here. You just pour it right in. Then you'll hang your sack back up and sift it out. Stand right here in front and shake it. There you go. That's good enough. Now we take this and just pour it on the floor. There you go.
It's the stuff we didn't want.
You ready to sack it up?
Let's start.
It takes about three big scoops. All right, now you're ready to weigh it.
Looking for 10 pounds?
Gonna take a little bit more. That's about 8 pounds. That's good.
Got to be happy with that.
Now we'll sew it up.
Is that right there?
This is what you're going to sew it up with. The best way to do it, take your hands and make your crease, and then take your other one. And you got a button right there. You push it. And when you get to the end, you just do it like that, and it cuts it off. You
got just like that.
Coming up.
That's not good at all.
Bad, 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 bad.
The old grind starts to grind me down.
What you have here is a faulty sewing machine. Another 10-pounder?
Yeah, that'd be good.
I was actually experiencing the way someone milled corn hundreds of years ago, which was very cool.
Good. Ready to sew it up. All right, Nate.
Whoop. Hold on.
Might want to go ahead and check on your corn, too.
Right.
I thought an old-school job like this would be pretty slow-paced. It's not.
Corn? All right, sure.
I found myself constantly pouring or sifting or lifting or turning around and not knowing where I was going. Based on this experience, I can safely say, back in the day, corn millers were not slackers.
There.
This goes over here. That comes off like that. And this
comes all the way over here. And that gets dumped.
Hey, Mike.
You.
Corn getting low.
Oh, that's a shame. Doggone it.
Doesn't take long, does it?
That doesn't take long at all. Look out. We're mealing. We're mealing.
You got caught up on your corn.
Yeah, the corn's gone. I'm not worried about the corn.
Hey.
That's, go ahead and fix that.
That's money out the door.
Huh. Money out the door.
Better get some big scoop.
Well, I don't want to drop any money out the door or on the floor.
we've already took care of that.
Is that how it works when you're filling an order? One person doing everything.
My daughter helps me sometimes.
She's come in real useful today.
Yeah.
So is the old man. I don't know where he go. Oh, there he is. How you doing, Edward?
All right.
Can I get you anything?
Well, I'm
You woke me up now. I'm all right.
What do you think? How's my technique?
All that is wasted. We charge that out to the helper.
I'll work 8 hours and wind up owing you money.
Yeah, this is what I want to see.
Yeah, I'm curious myself.
I was never good at wrapping presents, so I'm not good at doing this. Come on now. Don't seize up on me.
I think it's pretty good, really. I mean, that's not bad.
Got a leak in it.
Put it on the discount shelf. I think that's a do-over. I need to sift. Come on, who's your daddy? This gives us the point of view of the flower.
Yeah.
Being put into a bag. Something you rarely see.
Oh. Hey, your corn's getting low, Mike.
More corn?
About to run out. We can't have that.
Oh, yeah, we are running low here.
I'll go ahead and be opening up a bag for you, since you're getting behind.
I was behind when I showed up.
Hey, your meal bag's filling up.
Of course it is. Of course it is. Uh-oh.
That's not good at all.
Bad, 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 bad.
I guess the dogs can eat that.
Unwilling to accept defeat, the bar was lowered. My new goal, successfully pack one bag of cornmeal without spilling the product or destroying property or otherwise embarrassing Grandma and Grandpa.
Pretty dang on close to a perfect pour. Yeah, that's a good weight. I'm not a good sower. What you have here is a faulty sewing machine.
See, that's another dollar you lost. Another dollar.
Another dollar? Oh, shoot.
You tore that one. Eddie, come here and do the machine. I think the thread's tangled.
That's not good. Never seen it that bad, I don't think.
I don't know what to charge for that.
Yeah, it really is hard to know what to charge. How do you assess a fee for that kind of boondoggle?
I don't know what to do about this.
It's a mess, I know that.
Well, I don't see how it's my mess. Man's got to take responsibility for his tools.
I think it was the operator, not the machine.
Well, now, I tell you what, that kind of blame, I'm not sure what to make of it, except for the fact it's true.
Yeah. All right, I think I got it for you.
Yeah.
There you go. And I got it.
Well, it soon became apparent that a career in corn milling was not in my future.
Three bags full.
And so, to cut the disciples' losses, I mercifully brought an abrupt end to my time with the Edwardses.
Well, this has been great fun. I'm going to wander around, check out the property if you don't mind. Maybe check out at the Honor Bar there.
Yeah.
Take a little something for the road. A real pleasure.
Enjoyed it.
Every second. Edward?
Enjoy it.
Thank you.
Who's going to get these off me?
What, the microphone?
Yeah.
You keep that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's what we're going to do. I mean, I know it sounds weird, but we'd like to record you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, okay.
We just want to get everything on record.
Yeah. I hope my batteries are good.
I hope your batteries are good. Thank you, disciples. Have a great day.
All right.
They got the fish fry. They got the grits. I think I'm going to go with 3 pounds of white. According to the menu, 3 pounds of white is $2.50. But I figure you should always tip at the Honor Bar. So long, buddy.
Coming up at a wild animal preserve, saving an almost extinct species of deer sometimes means taking the buck by the horns.
I got him.
If he gets up, don't let go.
Really?
My number one rule, if you're scared, say you're scared.
I was scared when I showed up.
That's a zebra back there. That's a donkey walking right in front of it. There's another donkey right here. None of that's relevant to the task at hand today. We're at Wiley's Exotic Animal somewhere in Texas, and the object of our affection is a Pier David. Pier David is kind of a deer from China, except for the fact that they don't live in China anymore on account of they're extinct. Here in Texas, though,
They are somewhat plentiful. The overall goal, I believe, long term, is to replenish the population to the point where we can take some of the Pierre Davids in Texas, put them back in China where they belong. To do that, I've got to meet some interesting people and shoot one with a dart, then put it on a truck, et cetera, et cetera. Get the idea? Pierre David, a French deer from China in Texas. Yippee-ki-yay.
Cash Wiley Exotics is a 600-acre ranch that specializes in the rescue, relocation, and sanctuary of exotic animals. These animals come from places that no longer can care for them, or from people who have no business having them in the first place.
Well, beautiful day to be looking for Pierre Davids, and this is the one and only Cash Wiley.
Mark, I know.
How's it going?
Good.
Good. Cash has given me a rifle. He has one as well. These are actually dart guns, I suppose?
Tranquilizer projectors, correct.
Dart gun. Really, tranquilizer projector? We're going to go with that?
Sounds better. Absolutely.
Is it fair to say that you're a complicated man wrapped in mystery?
I've been doing this since I was 15 years old, darting and moving animals all over the world.
Who are the guys behind us?
This is a group of guys that work with me. Tim Holt is our resident vet on call.
That's the guy in the green shirt?
That would be the vet.
Oh, yeah. Who's the guy in the brown shirt?
Mike.
What's the guy in a white shirt over there?
Josh.
How about the guy between
Chet.
Them? Who's a copper?
He's our local security. In case anybody gets out of line on your crew, he's going to take care of it.
All right, great.
The only reason that we need this many people is we're going to dart two deer at one time. And what we're going to do, if those deer don't go down in the same place, we've got to be at two different locations.
When we get out there, things are going to happen fast.
It's going to happen extremely fast.
Okay. Show me specifically.
First of all, you always want to keep it pointed in the same position. It's just a bolt action rifle.
We will load a dart. That's where you put our desired drug in there.
What is the drug in the dart?
It's a drug that completely immobilizes them.
Now, this cameraman has actually walked right in front of the rifle. I didn't point it to him, just
yes.
So you know.
I've got that right there.
It's on safety.
If you shot it right now, nothing's going to come out the end of that barrel.
Well, then, Ira, you can stand there if you want.
So, there's nothing harmful with that.
I've never had a normal time in Texas, but I've always had fun.
I think we'll have fun today.
I'm ready.
You ready to roll?
I'm ready to roll.
That's right.
Let's roll.
And just like that, we're off on our Texas safari, keeping our eyes peeled for the renowned Pierre David.
All right, look for anything laying on the ground, looking around. There are tan, these animals that we're looking for.
Cash is on the hunt for two deer, a male and a female. Recently, he received a buck, which is not part of his herd, and his time has come to be moved. He's also looking for doe. Once we catch them, they'll be moved to a larger 2,000-acre site in hopes of starting a new herd.
What's over there?
That is a scimitar horned oryx. They're extinct from Africa. But we have thousands of them here that we're producing in the state of Texas and breeding them, hopefully, to reintroduce them back to Africa.
That looks like a camel, Cash.
That's Clyde the camel, actually. He was a rescue. He actually had a broken jaw. We had to wire it back in. He's a very good camel now. I hope they're not on the extreme backside.
Pierre Davids. Right there, right ahead.
Okay, I got them. I'm just trying to quartering them right now, turning them off. All right, what we're going to do is try to get them into a good area over here and pour out some feed for them.
Right.
No one get out of the vehicle when we pull back here. We're going to try to pour out some feed and hope they come up to the feed. Then we'll load a dart and then go ahead and shoot them.
What's the range on this thing, you reckon?
I'm going to set you right now. It has an adjustable range real quick, so everybody just be real quiet to start with.
Cash has stated emphatically that it's very important when stalking the Pierre David to be quiet. As the crew and I complied, Cash mesmerized us with his ninja-like feeding skills. Cash has been doing this for 30 years, so he probably knows something we don't. Like maybe these Pierre Davids are deaf.
What we're going to do is we're going to pull away and let them come to that feed. And everybody be quiet and just be calm. Mike, are you ready to shoot just a second?
I'm ready to shoot right now.
Dark. You remember how that loaded? I showed you.
Yeah, I remember.
Right there. Can I be quiet? Get that in there. I'm going to swing around just a second. Can you shoot out my side? So I'm just trying to get you where you can shoot. Shoot out my side right over my shoulder. Mike, I need you to shoot the bigger buck. Shoot the larger of the two bucks.
All right.
Prior darts. Now, that front shoulder shot is good, but sometimes you'll catch a front bone. If he turns, just a minute.
Now, we each going to shoot at the same time?
We're going to shoot at the same exact time.
Would you rather
if you can see that shoulder,
neck?
I want you to shoot him right in the shoulder if you can shoot.
I can
Three,
do it.
Three, two, one, go. Did you get yours?
Oh, yeah.
Good shot.
All right.
Good.
Once the tranquilizer hits the deer's bloodstream, it takes 6 to 7 minutes before it takes effect.
So you figure about 6 minutes from now?
Yeah, you get a timeline?
Yeah, I got 6 minutes till three.
Our job will be to follow the deer, making sure they don't get in any trouble while under the influence.
And where they're at is in a water area, so we're going to try to just push them out. Maybe they'll go back over and start eating again.
Right.
And just stay calm.
Unlike most deer, the pair Davids love water. They're known to spend much of their day standing in deep waters up to their shoulders.
Everybody, I want them out of the pond.
However, taking a nap while underwater, always a bad idea.
Biggest bull is darted. We're just waiting for him to go down. I'm trying to keep him out of the water right now so we don't have to go swimming.
So it's been about 6 minutes. The idea was to get him away from the water. So in about a minute, if the drug works, they'll start to drop. And phase two happens. I'm not sure what phase two is, to be honest.
The Père David's deer was named for French missionary Père Armand David, who observed them in a Beijing game park in 1865. His discovery created a demand for these animals in Europe, unknowingly saving the species from extinction after the imperial hunting grounds were destroyed by war and a flood, killing all the deer.
Just keep an eye on the big bull. He's not on the ground in about 9 minutes. We're going to have to get to him pretty quick and put a backup dart into him.
And right on cue, he laid down to begin his drug-induced nap.
Well, I think that'd move it through him.
Well, it does, yes, but also it takes more drug when they get a hyper also.
And this deer was indeed hyper.
Okay, guys, let's roll.
Back up.
He's done.
We're headed your way. Let's roll. Hop in. Okay, he's 150 yards. He's coming up that fence line on the east side, headed north. That's him up the front. Hold on, boys. All we need to do is push him towards the trailer right now. If you push him, he'll fall. He'll stumble and hit the ground. Push him on up. All right, guys, we're at to work quick, but he's going to hit the ground in about 30 seconds at the most.
Was this the big one?
All right, he's down, guys. Pull on in the front pasture. You got me? Come on in. All right, heads up, Mike.
Yep.
Grab a horn.
Yeah.
Inside, an antler. What we're going to do right now is just put a little blindfold over him.
Right.
To keep him less stress. Don't let him hit me, Mike.
I got it.
If he gets up, don't let go.
Really?
My number one rule, if you're scared, say you're scared.
I'm scared when I showed up.
All right. Somebody else want to grab a horn?
I'll be all right. I got the horn.
All right. If he stands up, it doesn't matter. We're not letting go of this deer.
All right.
By any means.
The Père David is a heavy animal. The average female weighs 800 pounds, while the average male, like the one right here, weighs in at about half a ton. So it was no wonder we needed six male humans to load him up.
I want to do this as gently as can be. All right. We want somebody on the sides. Okay, on my go. Three, two, one, go. All right, that's good. Gently, be careful with him. Yeah, you want him up there. You want that. You want to check right here. You can feel. Mike, stick your hand down there and feel him actually breathing.
Sure.
The other thing we can do, we check his eye reflexes. He touches eye reflexes, his eyelids.
Yeah.
He's blinking. He went down. Perfect timing.
Well, that'll happen when the shot's that perfect. You know what I mean?
Well, you made a pretty good shot. A little high and a little up here. You'll have to see it over here.
Uh-huh.
All right, gentle, guys. Easy. Let's get everybody together. On three, two, one, go.
That's right.
There you go. Reason we put them in dark trailers, and usually we try to be a little quieter, and we put them in dark trailers so he don't go absolutely berserk.
Yeah.
Anytime he sees light, he's going to want to go through.
Sure.
Well, we got him down right now. We want to try to be quiet. He's loaded. We've got this. Tim's checking him right now. Ideally, if we want to draw blood, it's a perfect time to draw blood.
Right.
It's a perfect time to give him any shots or any medication that he needs.
You know, so, Tim, what are you up to?
Well, I'm administering some anthelmintics or deworming and also some vaccinations.
Any way I could do that?
Sure.
You don't mind?
Sure.
It's on my bucket list, you know what I mean?
Sure.
I want somebody on this back door back here ready to close it. If he stands up, lock everybody
in.
Cameras and all. And somebody on this gate.
Cash, you okay with me doing this?
Not yet. Yes, I'm fine with you doing it.
Okay.
Just wait till I...
You bet.
Tell you to.
The reason Cash is so concerned is because the tranquilizer is only effective for about 20 to 25 minutes. If the deer becomes active and aggressive inside these tight quarters, things could get messy.
You got our time, Mike, when we started this. What time did we have?
It was 6 minutes of, now it's a quarter past. So call it 21.
At 21 minutes, this beast is due to wake up at any moment.
And he's fully aware of what's going on right now.
So he's coming out of it.
Not a comforting thought when you're about to stick him with a hypodermic needle.
Go ahead.
Stick it straight in.
Mm-hmm.
And pull back on all the way in.
Push it in. Okay, let's close the back door, and we're ready to move out from
ready
him.
To move? Okay.
And let him slowly recover.
He says out, I get out.
One down. One to go.
Now, you shot that as well as I did?
I missed mine. You hit yours.
I thought we were shooting a separate one. We were shooting
the same
one.
No. I was shooting at a cow.
And you missed yours.
I missed my cow. You hit your bull.
Unfortunately, we're not recording any of this. That'd be embarrassing.
Unfortunately, yeah, wouldn't it? I shot more than you. I missed more than you've ever shot at. Put it that way.
Fair enough, man. All I know is I'm one for one. Somebody else is batting zero.
Coming up, snagging deer number two proves elusive, so Cash Wiley comes up with a new plan.
Great plan.
I think it is.
But I've got some plans of my own for bagging this baby.
My tracking skills tell me we're close.
Paired David deer are very fast and really good at avoiding tranquilizer guns.
We're going to let them settle and we're going to regroup and set Mike out over a tree over here and bring them by him where they're least expected and he can get a good close shot and get a good dart in one.
The plan was an old classic. Cash lets me off at a tree, flushes the deer towards me. I shoot the deer and look like a hero.
What a great plan.
I think it is.
Where would you put me down here somewhere?
I think this is pretty good.
When the animals are excited, the drug tends to move through their body quicker, making it less effective.
At this point in time, shoot either one of them.
So Cash loaded us with a higher dosage of the tranquilizer.
Yeah. I'm going to try to push him up this fence line. I need you to be quietly and get behind a tree over here.
My tracking skills tell me we're close.
They're on the pond right now.
May be able to get a shot at them right now. They're in the pond. I need to get over there pretty quick.
I'm staying here.
And be ready.
All right.
If they come this way.
All right.
You got to be quiet and you got to be camouflaged.
Be invisible, Troy. You too, Jones. No, this is going to help me see stuff.
I want to push him out of that area again and let him come around like we did a while ago, and I want to push him up that way. 10 horsepower per head that way.
Cash is going to flush him up along the fence line. I'll try and shoot one on the run. So that's the plan.
Every plan has a weakness, and our weakness was, well, let's just say that I was quiet as a mouse. Cash, on the other hand.
I just heard a shoot. Probably missed.
One cow sits. Mike, do not shoot at another cow.
How about a crow? Can I shoot one of those? They shoot something. I feel bad shooting Jones.
Hustle, hustle, hustle. Sure, I hit one.
and they're up on the hill right now. I'm trying to get them up in that front pasture. We'll have better control over them.
All right.
We positioned ourselves perfectly to keep an eye on Bambi while waiting for the 7 minutes it takes for her to go night-night.
And I think that's her in the middle right now. It's been, what, right around 2 minutes right now, 2.5.
But the minutes tick by, confirming my speculation that the first dart didn't do its job in the first place. So it was time once again to bring in the big guns.
Another dart, possibly?
Possibly another dart.
Same cow.
Easy, easy, girls, easy. Yep. All right, you hit something.
Yeah, middle one right there. I think the one in the middle.
All right.
And I think if you look closely, you'll see it's exactly in the muscular part of the shoulder.
Of the back. All right, guys, we got one hit. Get a time on it.
For the next 7 minutes, we tracked our four-legged friend through Cash's ranch.
We're about 3.5, right at 4 minutes.
Until Mr. Sandman finally paid a visit.
There she goes. She's down.
Okay, she's going to be down for a while.
Yeah, got her.
And Mike had another great shot. Mike had a great shot on it.
Think we can hire him?
Probably going to be an opening in my line of work pretty soon.
You're awesome.
Oh, you know.
You have good days and bad days, huh?
I do. Mostly bad.
Okay.
You're doing good work, cruising around. Got some cool automobiles, fun guns, nice group of guys. Repopulating the herd.
Do our best, you know.
That's close.
All right, same way we did the last one. I'll take the head this time.
All right.
Okay, gently as possible. 3, 2, 1, go.
That's actually my leg. There you go. That's good.
My leg and her leg.
That's good. Bad hand and a bad knee. I didn't really think it through. You happy?
She's in the trailer. I'm happy.
Look at that.
He's happy. Everybody's happy, you know? Pierre David took one little shot, then a couple more shots, and then he's in a trailer with her friend.
Actually, Mike made the shot on it, so.
He's bragging about what a good shot I am now.
Mike made the shot.
That's
on
nice, because I hate to brag myself. You know, Dirty Jobs, we pride ourselves on highlighting feces from every species. Today was all about lemurs. Lemurs are aggressive, and sometimes they'll scare the poo out of you, other times they'll scare the blood out of you. But I'll go wherever you send me to pick up whatever poo happens to come out of the creature in question. Discovery.com/dirty jobs. Preferably a species that doesn't want to kill me would be ideal. It's cranky. Honor bar. Feels wrong doing that, but I swear it's just a prop. So what's happening now is we're doing a show about Pierre Daves or Pear Daves or Pear Daves. And we're about to shoot the opening stand-up, and we realize that none of us really know how to pronounce the thing we're doing a show about.
These things are accurate to within 1 foot.